Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nose.
This is Onik.
And we are proudly sponsored by North Valley Games, where you can go to northvalleygames.com, enter the promo code TCC2021, save 10% off your whole order. We are proudly sponsored by Artopia. I think the website's artopia.com. I'll figure that out by next week. But I do know if you find the Artopia website, it's the promo code. We have a promo code. TCC, just TCC.
Oh, no more numbers?
Yeah, well, on that one.
Okay.
Yeah, so North Valley Games, you still got the 2021. You know, like we're stuck in a time situation here. But yet, we are proudly sponsored by the Hobby Goblins, and we're also sponsored by Legend Rise Gaming. We are partnered with Magic the Gathering Players Group Facebook group, and we're partnered with Cosmic Gaming. We have a guest with us this week, Charlie. Charlie, welcome to today's show.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate y'all, man. It's an honor. It's an honor. I've been hearing about a couple times. I've spoken to John. You know, he was holding a podcast. I'm like, you know what? Let's do it. I hit him up. And try to get something started. And now I'm here.
Here we are.
Yeah, we met, I think it was maybe, thank you, Charlie. We met, like, I think it was a year and a half ago or something, Onik, and yeah, I started seeing his presence in the online part of the community.
Wait, like, person or met online?
No, online. And okay. I'm like, what do you do? And I think, Charlie, don't you do proxies also or something like that, or alternative artwork?
Oh.
Yes. So a year ago, I was... I just have a love for art, you know. I have a love for drawing, and I'm like, what if I could just combine like art and Magic the Gathering? So I thought of, okay, well, what if I could just like make custom tokens? What if I just make custom tokens? And I just went to work. I made some for my decks. So like, if you were to play with me, I can't find them, you know. I think I lost them. I'll make some more.
No. But
but like, if you were to play with me a commander and like bring out some goblin tokens, I will bring out like these custom made drawn tokens that I drew, and people are like, that's pretty cool. And I'm like, okay. And then like, hey, can you make some for me? And then that like that clicked in my head, like, oh yeah, this could be like a little business. So I drew some tokens for my local game store, and I'm like, you know what? This could be a little hustle. Plus, I love doing it. I think there were just times I do it 6 hours straight. 6 hours straight, just nonstop.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Token here, you know, artifact token here, like, hours on end. And that's why I hit up John. Like, hey, John, would you be... I was hitting up everyone I knew. Like, would you want to be interested? Like, I'll do this, and this. And just kind of went from there.
Well, we're going to start this show off with Card of the Week. And Onik, you've got Card of the Week.
Yes, I do. Another Phyrexian from All Will Be One. Skrelv, Defector Mite. One white mana for a legendary artifact creature, Phyrexian Mite. Toxic, one. It can't block, just like any other Phyrexian Mites. Pay Phyrexian white mana, tap it, choose a color. Another target creature you control gains Toxic, one, and Hexproof from that color until end of turn. It can't be blocked by creatures of that color this turn. This has been popping up in a lot of formats. Standard, Pioneer, maybe, I think, not so much Modern, but it's kind of a makeshift Mother of Runes. So it's been pretty strong to pretty much protect your creatures and also to get some damage through. There are reasons why it says Hexproof. It's not just doing protection. I don't know exactly why. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but it's been out there. Have you guys been seeing this card in play lately?
Not yet, I haven't.
I've seen it in preview, and I was slightly unimpressed with it until yesterday when I was playing Commander. Someone's playing a Voltron deck, and they just like slapped me with it, and I'm like, what does that card do? and it's like, huh. Interesting. And I think the reason why they took out protection is simply because protection is no longer a deciduous mechanic. So that means that they don't really use that wording anymore in some of the sets. So, and also protection is a very, very strong mechanic. So they just took the safe side and just reworded it as hexproof and unblockable.
I think it is deciduous, but like it might show up just occasionally. Maybe. Like I don't know. There's got to be something that I just really can't think of right now. And also, I'll admit, I haven't really taken a look at it to see why. But protection does come up occasionally, maybe like once every three sets or something.
Oh, no, it comes in all the time if you really think about it. It's been there since the beginning of time, too. Well, we had, what was it? The sword. The final sword just was revealed, right?
Yeah.
And that had protection.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So,
yeah. Oh, I know I'm right. The thing is, so back in the day when we had Island Walk and stuff like that, you know, it's always been, we have this play area we can work with. And Mark Rosewater himself even brought it up a few times, you know, where, hey, we've got all this design space we can work with. And it's like, well, no kidding. You know, they're, and let's face it, you see stuff on the arena version, digital only, where it's, what's that word I'm looking for where it keeps going over and over, Onique?
Rebalancing?
No, not rebalancing. They got a Black Planeswalker where it's like, I don't want to think proliferate, but it's different. It's like reoccurring, but it starts with a P, though. Oh, help me out here. Progressive, you know, there's a card game out there where you can do things over and over, and there's no way you can do it in real life, so it has to be digital, right, for Magic?
Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
Not really.
Perpetual! Okay.
Perpetual. There you go. Thank you. I knew it began with a P. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you, Charlie. So perpetual. And where am I going with this perpetual? So they have all this design space, right? And you got also flip cards. We're not new to flip cards, but because we have flip cards, we've got all this design space. So I think that with the hex proof versus the protection from color, I don't think anything's replacing anything. If you look back with Whippersnapper Cloak. Anyway, it was like
Whisper Silk.
Yeah, it was. It couldn't be the target of spells or abilities, right? Whatever it was connected to. Now, I can't target it either. Okay, and that was a beginning problem with Magic. Then Hexproof came a little bit later, and it's like, well, this is better than it can't be the target of spells or abilities. Now, because of the balancing in Magic: The Gathering, this is a personal opinion. Please don't attack me. I don't think we're getting rid of the protection. This is just another part of the balancing.
How dare you?
That's audacity.
Two things I just realized right now, as far as the difference between the wording on Skrelv, which is a very interesting name to say, and protection, is that with this wording of Skrelv, it can still be dealt damage in form of like board sweepers, like Pyroclasm, because that doesn't target. It can still be taking damage. Protection will prevent the damage. And let's say you choose white for Skrelv, like your own other creature gets protection from white. Sorry, not protection from white, but like Hexproof can't be blocked. You can still target it with your own white stuff.
Are you thinking that because of stuff like Lifelink? Lifelink became a thing when I think they created the card Lifelink, right? Until then, we had a different wording for it. If you look at Loxton and Warhammer, for example, right? It's got a different wording. So that would be the only time Lifelink would double stack, right? Am I right? Do you think in the future we're going to call this Skrelv? Because right now it doesn't say Skrelv at the bottom half of the card. It's just the name of the card is Skrelv. Defector might.
Oh, are you talking about the ability to keyword it to Skrelv?
Yeah. So what I'm saying is hexproof from that color. Yeah, I think it could be. Why not?
Hexproof from that color is a phrase. It's just not keyworded. But I mean, then again, I mean, protection from X is keyworded, so you can still have hexproof from X. That's still a thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they just abbreviate it, they're going to have so much more space to put other things, where this card could have been mythic rare if it had four more abilities.
Oh, yeah. But
for one white. Anyway, we're getting off track. I think it's a great card for Card of the Week. It's definitely a sleeper, in my opinion. I have not heard of it. And now I can see all the shenanigans you can pull off with it, especially being Phyrexian mana. What are they thinking with making more? Didn't we learn from the past?
I mean, their mistake was. Oh, what? Oh my God. I have so many spoilers to tell you guys. Their mistake from the past was that Phyrexian mana and the mana cost to where you can literally just pay life instead of any kind of colored mana. That was a mistake. This is just an activation cost. This is more fair, quote unquote.
Yeah, from what I've heard, they're planning on putting it on abilities. I think that was I heard Mark say that they're planning on putting it on abilities, but they took the risk on putting it on the mana cost and thinking that that might not be a big deal. But then, well, I guess we saw how that went out.
All right, moving over to movers and shakers, because we got a few things to talk about before we get to the meat of today's show, right?
Mm-hmm.
There probably going to be no surprise on what number one is this week.
I knew this like on Monday.
Yeah, I know. I could have wrote it down, put it in an envelope, and then revealed it on today's show, right? So starting us off with some cheap pickups. Clothies, if I murdered that name, I'm sorry. God of Destiny. Yeah, Clothies, right?
Clothis.
No? Clothis. Wow. It looks like Clothies. God of Destiny, $5, even. Slowly moving down. So that's why we call it a cheap pickup, right? Another good cheap pickup. Questing Beast? ? $5.74, slowly moving down.
Here's your example of throw a ton of keywords on there, making a mythic rare.
I think there's a joke there somewhere. Altar of Dementia. I just pulled a couple of that. $4.81. They're moving up. So get them. Because you don't want to get them later. You really don't, man. You know. All right. Moving on to number three this week. Drum roll, please. Ground Rift. $4.99. Starting off a little on the small side, right? 65% upward trend. It's still going up.
It's a $5 common. Put it that way.
Still going up. Oh, yeah. I guess I should have looked at the rarity level of it. Target creature without flying, can't block this turn. Storm, one that, red. It's not an instant. It's a sorcery. So, hey, yeah, why not?
That part sounds unassuming, but people have been comboing it with, of course, a favorite toxic creature, Venerated Rock Priest. That's one to where if you target it, whenever any creature of yours becomes a target of any spell or ability, sorry, spell only, then the target opponent gets a poison counter. So there have been Storm decks that just run Venerated Rock Priest, and then they cast Ground Rift to where it storms, and you just keep targeting your own creatures that they can't block, but you don't care, because anytime you target it, Rock Priest will give your opponent a poison counter.
Am I going to murder this name, too? Number two, Skithrix, the Blight Dragon?
Yeah, closer. Skithrix. Okay.
See? I wouldn't be able to pronounce that. Up 56%. I'm starting with a small number because it's an astounding $43.79. I'm looking at this graph, and it's just climbing. It doesn't even look like a hill. It looks like a 90-degree slant. It's just going straight up in the air. Straight up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it does have flying, so okay. That was a bad joke.
But here's what we got number one this week.
Yeah, I saw coming a mile
before I even say the name, because I'm kind of ripping open the envelope, which we already know the answer. We're even looking at it, right? But we, like you just said, I could have told you this last week. It's up 385%. No surprise. $49.95 attracts a Grand Unifier. Any thoughts on that, Charlie?
I mean, it's all right, man. It's all right. Atraxa, I don't know, man. I feel like they went a little bit lazy on the design, but is it really $50?
Yeah, it's got like literally a week ago on February 13th, it was like $10, $9.
Yeah, $8. Yeah,
it shot up like crazy. Because of tournament results, people were playing with it, they're winning with it, and then they're putting it out, NetDecks, whatever, in our internet, saying, hey, this won because of this card. And people were like, oh, snap, I need to get myself a copy. It's showing up in Standard and Legacy, which are two pretty polarizing, not polarizing, but like kind of like, I guess, opposite, quote unquote, formats. In Standard, it's been showing up in like a Boros build reanimator deck with cards like Big Score to rediscard a card and draw two cards and make treasure tokens, and like cathartic pyre, where you could just, you know, discard two cards, draw two cards, or deal some damage. The idea is that you want to discard Atraxa, put it in the graveyard, and then reanimate it with Invoke Justice. white one, pretty much return target permanent from a graveyard to the battlefield, and then put some plus counters and stuff. So you'll end up having a 11-11 Atraxa, Flying, Vigilance, Death Touch, Lifelink. Then it'll still draw you like five cards because of his ETB ability.
What about that battle time? I mean, that's the most importantly, that's there.
Oh, battle, I kind of prophesized. I had some predictions or hot takes of how battle will work in a previous episode. I talked about that and I made a post in Facebook. So we don't need to go over that. I can talk to you a bit later on that.
Yeah, I have a question for Onik about this number one on Movers and Shakers. Do you have a copy of this for your cube?
No.
Okay. All right, moving along then. That was your Movers and Shakers this week.
Well, real quick, it's also showing up in Legacy. Right now, this seems to be a more favorable, or probably the best reanimator target over Grizzlebrand and over Archonic Cruelty.
Over Grizzlebrand.
We're just seeing a lot. Yeah. So this weekend in Philadelphia is a pro tour. We haven't had a pro tour in such a long time, so it's absolutely refreshing to see it back. The main formats for pro tour is Pioneer and, of course, Draft or Limited with All Will Be One. So instead of talking about top decks of all formats, because I know we've skipped the topic lately, I want to touch up on Pioneer and the metagame breakdown pretty much of what's been going on in this event. There are 219 qualified and registered players and decks. The top decks here, Rakdos Midrange is about 15% of the field, Mono Green Devotion about 14%, Gruul Vehicles, which is about 10%, and that's really Asika's Chariot and a Skyship Sovereign. I'm blanking on the name right now. Let me make sure I get it right. So V-E-I-R-G-N. Sky Sovereign, Console Flagship. That's the actual name of the card. Lotus Field Combo. Lotus Field Combo, about 8%. Mono White Humans, about 7%. Azorius Control, about 7%. Is it Creativity? Rakdos Sacrifice? Is it Phoenix? Celestia Angels?
And this is Pioneer, right?
This is Pioneer. And then there's several other decks that still make up the remaining 20% of the meta.
Well, here's the funny thing. We were just joking about how Mono White was actually one of the top three decks in the meta just not even 3 days ago.
Yeah.
Now it's number eight or something. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a very diverse, very healthy meta game.
I know.
And this Pro Tour has been going on since Friday. Today is Sunday, the day that we're recording. So we already had day one, day two. And we have our top eight players as well. Derek Davis, Reed Duke, Chris Ferber, Benton Mattson, Takumi Matsura, Gabriel Nassif, a.k.a. Yellow Hat, Nathan Sewer, the previous or the current Magic World Champion, and Shota Yosuka, which he's...
Yellow Hat. Yeah, Gabriel.
Yeah, Shota's probably I probably put him top five Japanese players of all time. He's amazing.
My money is on Yellow Hat, man. I'll tell you what, though, if I can share an experience with you from last night, if I can.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, sweet. I'll try and make it quick. So there was a sealed event last night, or limited. It was a draft, okay? And it was just three packs of All Will Be One. And there was 12 players. They decided to make two pods of six. This was your friend Day, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, he's in LA. He runs the card shop, Fire and Dice.
Yeah, correct. He does the Fire and Ice downstairs in the vending room. And I'll be over there with the Hobby Goblins, right? And when we go up there and he does events upstairs, I also do events upstairs too. So there's no selling upstairs. There's just events. And I like it because I can take a break later on the day when the vending room closes. I'll go upstairs and try to get a game or two in, right? So last night I'm up there and Day's throwing an event. It was $20 for a draft. And I sit down, man. I get my three packs. And I'm looking around, and I'm like, okay. I see a couple people. I'm thinking they're going to be really good competition, right? Are you following what I'm saying, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, well, this is going to be a good, fun game. My Pack One, Pick One was a Phyrexian letters. I couldn't even read it, right? Jace, the new Jace. And I'm like, wow, okay, this is my Pack One, Pick One, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wanted to know with the second pack, was I going blue? Was I going blue, black? What was I going? My next card was kind of like going along with the whole proliferate thing. And I'm thinking, man, I just want to go ahead and get this Jace out there and mill him and end it, right? So that was the theme I was going with. And there was a whole bunch of proliferate. I skipped the oil counters because I've had a lot of draft experience with the oil counters. I'm like, no, that's not my gig. Even though the proliferate probably is cool with it and stuff, I just want to get that interaction out of my games, okay? And I just noticed something real quick that I'm putting together a deck real quick, and it's solid, okay? This wasn't the first thing that was kind of odd, okay? The second thing I thought was kind of odd was, And please don't hate on me, right? I'm that one of those guys where I'm just like bragging that I'm picking the basic lands halfway through the first pack. Like no kidding, man. Like I told the people, I'm like, don't be surprised if I pull 50 of these basic lands and I beat everybody here, right? And I'm just doing this, right? I'm having fun with it. I don't care if I lost all games, Onique. I really don't care. But I'm just that guy, right? If you would have been there, you would have known what I'm talking about, Onique. You'd have been like mm-hmm. having fun with it. Some guys around me were having fun with it. The ones that couldn't really hear me were like, what's going on down there? And by the time I'm halfway through pack two, I've already got a good solid deck going here. And it's not even straying off to where I got to use a sideboard. My sideboard right now is just basic lands. Okay. Are you following me? Mm-hmm. And I felt like calling it a judge because I got bored of getting the basic lands and they were starting to run out because I kept pulling just basic lands, that I started cherry picking the money cards.
You can't call a judge on that.
No, I know. That's what the whole funny thing was I'm like, dude, something's definitely wrong. I've already built a solid deck, drafted a whole bunch of basic lands just to fool around, and I'm cherry picking all the money cards. Look at all this money. I start stacking $20 cards, $30 cards. I'm telling you, dude, even Day was laughing. I'm telling you, dude, it was a hoot. It was a hoot. Maybe I'm just not saying it right, or you had to been there kind of a thing, but I'm telling you, man. Now, how did I do, right? I went 2-1, and the two buddies I was up with there, they went 3-0. So it was pretty fun. It was pretty fun.
That's good, dude. How'd you do, though?
I just said 2-1.
Two, all right, 2-1. Yeah. I was like,
two and one. And so the buddies,
You just mill people out?
So, yeah, all my plan was the first game was weird because I didn't get Jace at all on both, you know, the best two out of three, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't get Jace at all, man. And I was just doing the whole proliferate thing. And but it was with a poison counter.
Okay. So
my backup plan, if Jace wasn't coming out, which that happened on the only first game, was I'll poison and then I'll proliferate, which I was doing good. I got them all like 7, 8, 9. But, you know, I lost that game, man. That was the only game I lost. And it was to a buddy, so which ended up he got 3-0. So
okay. Oh, so you're 1-1 and then lost to him.
Yeah, basically he got it.
Okay. That's so sweet though.
Yeah, he got it 2-1 or something, but he got the game.
Like the end result of going 2-1 is like there's a difference between going win-win loss versus loss win-win, you know?
Oh, really?
To me it feels different. Like you made it to the finals as opposed to, I just lost my first match.
Yeah.
And then you feel like you're playing quote unquote lesser opponents, which of course that's not really the case, but it feels a bit different that you're fighting your way back.
Yeah. I agree, man. I think I had more fun doing it that way. And okay. I thought maybe in the middle, even like maybe they'll pair me down. No, they paired me up.
Yeah.
They paired me up. Of course they're going to pair me up. Anyway, Charlie.
Yes, sir.
I know that I met you a while ago, well, a year and a half ago or something. And it was really about the altars, you know, the artwork that you do on cards and stuff. And that's what I was trying to help you push when I first met you. But recently you brought up a subject that's near and dear to my heart, and that's mental health. So can you shed some light on the projects you're working with over there?
Yes. I got connected with a mental health program called Mental Health Connections. You can find them on Instagram. The program I'm working with is called Connections House, and they essentially welcome anyone, any young adults, or just anyone generally that has, you know, that's suffering from under mental health. They hold a mental health podcast that I've been a part in called Connected. It's not released yet, but it will be soon. And essentially what we talk about is essentially how we can manage mental health on an everyday basis, you know, such as, you know, if you're not doing enough or you believe you should be doing more, what habits can you take on? You know, the last episode we were talking about is, what do you do if you're doing too much? You know, and it was on me. I'm doing full time. I'm doing school. And I have been actually leaving out a lot of some of my free time. So, you know, back a year ago, I was playing Commander, you know, almost every single day. But now that I've been hustling a lot more, I've been doing a lot less of that. It was just yesterday where I played my very first Commander game in such a long time.
Nice. Now, mental health, I want to stop you for a second here. Now, mental absolutely, health. Absolutely. No, you're fine, man. Mental health is near and dear to my heart. Okay. I've got family members and friends and loved ones that are struggling with mental, you know, health issues. And I don't want to elaborate too much, right? Because I think everybody knows at least one person, and it touches the heart. It really does. There's a lot of different cases, and if I can openly talk about it right now, you know, that's what I mean by near and dear to my heart is people struggle on a day-to-day basis. And even a lot of celebrities have stepped out of the shadow, quote unquote. That's my quotations. You can quote me on this. And out of their comfort zones to actually open up and talk about this issue. You know, it really is something that we should talk more about. And, try, you know, because you want to help your fellow neighbor, right?
Yeah.
And you want to help your loved ones because that's unconditional love right there. And you don't want to see anybody suffer. So, I mean, I'd like to talk more about it. I mean, personally. And so your show is going to tackle these issues head on.
Yeah, that's mainly what it's about. We try to shed light on this because it's, I've noticed in society, we hide it a lot. You know, we always like make money, do this, do that, but we never focus on communicating these issues. We never focus on, you know, depression, anxiety, and all that. And that's correct. Why I like to shed light on Magic the Gathering. Mm-hmm. When COVID was a thing, Magic the Gathering was a big thing. I mean, we were all struggling. We were just playing arena all day, huh?
Well, mental health. I mean, health is in the, you know, the pro, is it a pronoun I'm looking at? Onique, or I don't know. Maybe I should have paid more attention in spelling. But when you look at mental health, health is in there. And you want to be healthy, right? Just like, you know, cleaning yourself, brushing your teeth. You want to be healthy. And when it comes to your mental, it's not like you can see inside of somebody's brain. Maybe if you're a neuroscientist or something. But that's when it comes to the health part. And by opening up more in society, like you said, Charlie, I think there's a lot of help there, and that's just in the human nature, right?
Yeah, no, it is. So what do you think we could do what actions can we take to better ourselves? What do you think?
As far as somebody struggling with mental health issues.
Yeah. I'm just like, I want to know your perspective.
That's a gray area. You're actually talking about many, many different, I mean, you can talk about, you know, disorders. You can be talking about, diseases, you know, you can be talking about a lot of things too. Or somebody just struggling like with depression, you know, you can start right there. Just an example, I guess. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can talk about personal experience. I experienced depression the first time, I think it was 1 week ago. And I own my own company. I do a podcast. I do a 9-to-5 job. And I'm a very busy guy, you know, and even when I think I have downtime, there's no downtime, right? But I experienced depression the other day for the first time, and it's not fun. It's not fun at all. And it kind of reminds me when I was a kid, if I saw somebody overweight and I maybe made a joke about it, and a brother of mine slapped me and said, "Hey, you're gonna be like that when you grow up because you made fun of that person." It kind of looks at like maybe I should listen to people more when they talk. So by experiencing it yourself, it's different than just hearing about it when you experience it. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this, but we got some juicy magic stuff we got to cover. We'll be right back. All right, buddy, welcome back. I do think you're right, Onig. That break came real quick.
Yeah.
And, you know, I apologize. We're just getting a look from the producers, and I'm like, I know what to do. I know what to do. Now, I mean, it really is a touchy subject, and I get that. But I think just like, you know, the other movements, you know, like hashtag Me Too, or, you know, stuff like that, you know, it just should be talked about more, you know. And coming from a family that were open, we talked about everything. You know, maybe it's just easier for me. I don't know. Onique, what do you think?
I think the biggest thing anyone could do is just listen.
Yeah.
Listen with an open mind, non-judgmental. Just hear them out, hear what they have to say, listen to their full story beginning to end, and allow everyone just to fully, don't hold back, just say everything that you have to say, regardless of if you think that's, if it's something that you can't handle. Like, you don't have to respond, you don't have to like jump into action and try to like rescue them. Just allowing someone to say everything, It kind of allows them to process things better too. Like when my father passed away 5 years ago, me telling the story of how it all happened allowed me to kind of not normalize it, but come to terms with it, to where this is like it helped the grieving process for me.
I think it would be a healing process too.
Yeah, healing, grieving, like the whole thing. Because like after, it's not that like, after you say it a 10th time, it gets old or whatever. Like, not like that, but it helped me accept it. It helped me like realize, like, yeah, this is actually how he passed away. And I don't know. I think just listening, just being there. You don't have to be there all necessarily either. Just like, just, you know, let them talk, let them say what they want to say.
And I'll tell you what, another thing too, man. I just mentioned a minute ago that I suffered through depression. And I hear people talk about it all the time. And that was my first time experiencing it, right? And I'm like, I understand more and more as the days go on. So you have a thing called day-to-day life, right? And a long time ago, a girl that was a friend of mine, her grandmother had passed away. And she came to me and she told me, you know, my grandma passed away. And I gave her a shoulder to cry on, but that was about it, man. I didn't really put too much stock into it, okay? Fast forward a couple of years, my grandfather passed away. And it meant the world to me, dude. And she was the only one that was really by my side. And I had apologized up and down, Onique, up and down, that I should have put more stock into it when her grandmother passed away, man.
Mm-hmm.
So until you're put into a position, like you're diagnosed with cancer or you're doing this, you really don't put much stock into it, you know. But I think with talking more about mental health, especially mental health awareness, right, that it brings it up to where we can be more open about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, well, we got to move along here. I'm getting that look from the producers again.
So, as I mentioned previously, the Pro Tour is going on now in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I got a couple friends down there. Will Hall.
Yeah, I got a couple buddies there too. Like, right now, like now, in the past like 5 minutes to even like 5 seconds ago, They are previewing new cars from March of the Machine. I didn't even know they were doing this as we hit the record button initially.
Wow.
I just want to go over some of the names of these cards. Gosh, it's still spoiling. Oh my
God. Oh, we can pronounce them now?
I don't even know what this is. What? Oh my, no. Hold up.
Wait, are they already doing previews for the new set?
Oh my God.
Yes. So we got breaking news right now. Onique's trying. On? Onik's trying to say right now. I'm trying to process this.
Dude, yeah, this is insane. Okay.
It's like when they give you a new magic card, you actually got to read it and you don't have time to read it kind of a thing, you know?
So let me go to the first one. So yeah, about 50. So literally about an hour ago, first look panel at MC Philly, which is Magic Convention Philly. It looks like Nick Philly, like a sandwich. Follow this thread for more live tweets. There are basic lands, obviously, but each of basic lands basically has the portal to Phyrexia, the portal itself in each of these lands. Like, the Phyrexians are taking over every freaking plane in the multiverse. The basic lands...
Whoa.
Yeah, like, this, I think... I don't identify this one. This is Ravnica with portals above the portal above it. This is... Looks like it's Ixalan. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, there are... They're just planning the legwork to ban islands. That's all they're doing.
I need to go through this rapid fire because there's so much to go through. There is Art of Elishnorn, Jinkataxia, Shaeldred, Urbrosk, and Vorinclex. So they're represented in the set, obviously, in some way, but this is that looks like it's featuring these creatures, these Praetors specifically. There was a, you might remember, Ayara, the black legendary creature from... what's it called? From
Eldraine.
Okay. Yep. She is... there's art with her, Ayara, Widow of the Realm, and then I guess the other side, it might be Modal Dual Face cards in here. Ayara, Furnace Queen? Like so she's like on fire? Doing... I think she's Phyrexianized.
Are we doing like multiple jumps here?
Is
like,
she completed?
I think she's completed. Like I said, the Phyrexians are absolutely taking over every freaking plane in the multiverse.
That's what's going on. That's why we're gonna do. We're gonna go back to Lorwyn so quick. Got it.
Oh, okay. you just wait, dude. Just wait. Yeah, listen to me.
Yeah.
There's another art preview called Traumatic Revelation where it's Chandra confronted by Nyssa, and at some point they were love interests. Or at least a romantic interest. So I guess the two of them are now facing each other for the first time since Nyssa has been completed. So that's going to be crazy. We have a couple cards. Full cards has been previewed. There is going to be... I don't know how this is played. I'll just read this one in its entirety. We don't have to get opinions on it. This card is just literally called Jinkataxius. That's it. 3 blue, legendary creature, Phyrexian Praetor, War 2, is a 5/5 creature. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell with mana value 3 or greater, draw a card. 3 blue, activate, so it's 4 mana to exile, then return it to the battlefield, transform under its owner's control, activate it only as a sorcery, and only if you have 7 or more cards in hand. It transforms into a saga. The Great Synthesis is the backside of this. This is a saga. So front side, legendary creature, backside, enchantment saga. I don't need to read this, what it does, but it's a dual phase card that's one side Jinkataxis and the other side the Great Synthesis. The art on it, I can't make it out, but there's something in, like, looks like some sort of incubation chamber that's being used, like synthesizing something. What else? Oh,
probably the mirrors.
There's a card, Heliod, the Radiant Dawn. Heliod.
Oh, no.
From Theros. Legendary creature god is the front side. The backside, legendary champion creature, Phyrexian god. Heliod is completed. There's another card, Moment of Truth. I don't need to read it, but the flavor text, on the precipice of eternity, Elspeth made a choice. The fight would not end without her. There are other art cards. Brace yourselves. This is just an art card. There's nothing else to it other than the art, but it's insane. 5 of them. The first one is called Invasion of Alara. The next one, Invasion of Lorin.
Told you.
Invasion of Tarkir. Invasion of Chandalar.
There we go.
Invasion of Mercadia.
Chandalar. Dude, you said Chandalar.
Yes. I'm so glad we talked about the Rabiascale. Yeah. Dude, this wow. I got goosebumps just You're reading
giddy.
These.
I'm giddy, dude. I'm giddy.
They are absolutely taking over everything. But
Yeah.
The multiverse is ready.
See, here's the thing. I think it was last night or the night before. I had a dream that will somehow visit all the planes, but I didn't think it would be the Phyrexian taking over all.
The Phyrexian, you know? Yeah, because like
I thought they were going to bring back the whole the origin story again, you know, for like the sixth time, and then be like all the planeswalkers go down and they visit every plane kind of thing. But the Phyrexian,
dude,
what a twist!
So this is where am I?
Yeah, the mites. Go ahead. Yep.
So everyone seems to be prepared and anticipating. So there are cards. There's a single card that looks like it has two legendary creatures on one from the same plane. Drana and Linvala. I'm trying to remember Drana.
Yeah, but I'm trying not to be so excited.
That's from Innistrad, I think, right? Yeah.
You realize that we're going back to all the planes, right?
Yeah. So
that's Drana, so exciting.
So both Drana and Linvala are legendary creatures from Zendikar, and they're on a single card. They are not the only quote-unquote tag team card. We also have, get ready, Yargle and Multani.
Oh, wow.
They're both from Dominaria. Both of them are in the same card. They look merged. By the way, they are not completed. They are not Phyrexianized. By the way, you remember Yargle, who that was like a 9-3 creature?
Yeah, it was also in the secret lair drop, Yargle or something.
Yargle and Multani is an 18-6.
Yeah.
This creature
is... So you're telling me they're doing like a fusion dance? Is that what you're
saying? I guess. Is an 18-6. This only costs 6 mana also. 3 green, 3 black green. Just a vanilla 18-6.
That's it.
We also have... dude. Thalia and the Gitrog monster.
Oh, God.
It's actually Thalia mounted on the Gitrog monster on card.
What's next? Abyssin on a dinosaur?
Hold on. Oh, you want your dinosaur? You ready for a dinosaur?
Sure.
Okay. Hold on. I got one for you. Where'd it go? 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 Is this it? No. This one. Okay. Here's your dinosaur. You want to go to Kalad? You want to go to Ixalan? Okay. Galta and Mavrin. Dude, Galta, the 12-12? Mavrin was a vampire and Exelon.
I know who he was. Who's the other one?
Galta? This is a 12-12 trample. Like, it costs less if you have, like, depending on the power of your creatures. Galta's here.
I don't remember that one. Wow.
Yeah, oh, you want more? A lot. You want more? Oh,
yeah, I do.
Slimefoot and Squee.
Really?
From Dominaria again.
Really? Isn't this like the fourth version of Squee?
But wow. They're together. They're on the same one card. Oh, wait. You want more? Sure. Catilda and Lear.
So they're going to double team. They're going to double team us on cards.
Dude, yes. Oh, you want more? Okay. Goro Goro and Saturo. This is from Kamigawa.
Sure.
I think that's it for the duels.
Wow.
Can we just get like Eldrazi pairing up together? Like, can we get that too? Like,
I don't know if my heart can handle that right now. Oh, by the way, Omnath, locus of all, 5 color, Phyrexian elemental.
First time in history.
He is completed.
First time in history.
White, blue, black, red, green. But the black mana is a Phyrexian mana symbol.
Nothing safe, man. You know, Yawgmoth completed. Nothing safe, man. Nothing safe.
Everything is effed.
Yeah, everything. Everything, dude. Might as well. Where's that black damnation when you need it? You know what I mean?
There's also... So this is all going to be in the following set, March of the Machine. And I want to emphasize, because it might be relevant, the machine is singular. It's not March of the Machines. It's March of the Machine. After that, maybe like a month or so after that, there is another supplemental set that's called March of the Machine, The Aftermath. And it's supposed to like tie up loose ends or clean up a story or whatever. And they've previewed one card on here, which damn near broke my heart. The Kendrith Royal Funeral. This is Kenrith and what's the one white creature? Queen something. It's a Life King creature. I think they're both dead.
Leopold or something?
No. I forget what it's called. Sure. But yeah.
They're both completed. That's what's funny.
No, they're both dead.
Oh, they're dead. They're dead. Not even completed. They're dead.
Why? I don't know why they're dead.
What's better, like, dead or completed? I think completed, because at least we got Jace. At least we got a copy of Jace right now, right?
Linden, the Steadfast Queen. That's what it was.
It could have been worse.
Yo, like this. Okay, you have to look at these cards. I put them all on Facebook and one of the Magic the Gathering MTG groups. Oh, sorry, one more. Dude, like, you have to look at this. Chandra, Hope's Beacon. This is another Chandra Planeswalker card.
Seriously, already?
Yes. Like, didn't you like want this? Sort of, probably not.
I kind of always want the Chandra Planeswalkers. They can come out with 20 more. I really don't care. But
yeah, pretty strong.
I got known to it when I looked at my cube the other day. I was like, I've really got like 10 different Chandras in here.
I think that's just about everything. I need to put my phone down because, like, it's hard for me to keep up. But this is
no, it's cool, man. Because as it comes along, we'll cover more in the next week's episode. Anyway, Charlie, this is a lot to take in. What are your thoughts on the whole March of the Machine?
We have an 18-6 mix. But I'm like, first of all, I'm like trying to process everything. First of all, we have our first vanilla creature that just almost has 20 power. That's kind of insane. That, like, you just give that thing trample and buff it, and that's it. And then you just
do your little dab. If they got no creature, just give it +2/+0, right? It's an 18, right?
Yeah.
just give it a bone saw or something. Give it a couple bone saws. It'll be all right.
I'm just ready for Eldrazi to come in. Like, I think that's what they're planning on doing. Eldrazi, like, just coming in.
Don't be confused with Eldrazi and Phyrexian.
Yeah, those are two.
Yeah. I'm saying I'm saying like Eldrazi's. Like, what if they start summoning Eldrazi's because they need backup, and then they have to take care of Eldrazi's after Eldrazi's defeat the Phyrexian.
See, that's what everyone's kind of like speculating that, like. Someone else also mentioned that like Tamio or the Moonfolk are the ones that kind of locked up the Eldrazi on a moon or something.
Mm-hmm.
But now the Tamio is completed. They think they might like unlock the Eldrazi or something. I don't know.
I think it's too soon. I don't think the Wizards would be a smart move to do Eldrazi after the Phyrexian thing.
Not this soon after.
Yeah, not this soon after. We're going to have a whole bunch of different sets, Return to Throne. I mean, look, if they're really going in with, like, this whole year being Phyrexian, like, what I think is going on is they're going to, I mean, going back to Ixalan already, going back to, I mean, some of the other ones, we're really surprised they're going back so soon, right, Onik?
Yeah.
And so it just makes sense, story-wise, that the Phyrexian are starting taking over all the planes. And for them to go Return to Shandalar, oh my goodness. I just can't believe I heard those words this morning.
I know. Dude, this is nuts. So and Mercadia too, because that was like really low on the Rabaya scale. Like, they're probably not going to go back. So I think like something's going
to
happen.
That, not to cut you off, but that it wasn't even an updated list.
Yeah. So wow. I might, and now, like I said, I think that they might update the list after this set, after the story's been concluded and out. I initially said that Jace was going to be, sorry, not Jace, Teferi's going to be the one who's going to sacrifice himself. I knew that Elspeth was going to be a big part of the story too. It may be like a combination of two, or one or the other, where Elspeth and or Teferi is going to do some crazy self-sacrificing thing to like blow up everything, blow up all the Phyrexians, and maybe themselves along, and probably themselves in the process too. Like, if the Phyrexians are invading every freaking plane, I can't imagine to where, like, you know, then we go to Eldraine and, oh, look, Phyrexians. Then we go to Ixalan, oh, look, Phyrexians. Then we go to the next plane, oh, look, Phyrexians. Like, we can't see Phyrexians for the rest of the sets. Like, it has to come to an end. We have to have, like, some sort of normality, you know?
Here's the thing. What boggles my mind is, I even said it early in the podcast, with that Phyrexian card being the card of the week, didn't they learn their lesson? Instead of, you know, walking on eggshells when it comes to Phyrexian mana. Now we're going to have a whole year of it, let alone we're going to invade every plane with it.
I'm fine with the Phyrexian mana how it is right now, because it's because the Phyrexian mana on like a Planeswalkers, for example, is it's a choice to where if you do pay for the mana, you get less loyalty. And at the same time, you still have to pay colored mana. Like the Jace that you saw, it's like two, then blue mana, then Phyrexian blue. Like you still need blue mana. You can't toss in a blue Jace and a mono green deck and just pay life and say, look, I don't need islands. You know, you still need blue sources. That's how they fix it, quote unquote.
They're, my opinion, they're very likely to add a mechanic to the spells that have Phyrexian mana, just not Planeswalker, just regular spells, where if you pay Phyrexian mana, the effect of the spell would just be much, much weaker.
Well, they could do that for this for the next upcoming set, March of the Machine. I don't know if it they'll do that or not, but it's possible. I think their fix, which is a good fix, is that you need colored mana, and I think that part is okay.
And I gotta give the R&D man, they're stepping up their game. Notice less bans, right? And a lot of formats, man.
Yeah,
but we're getting ahead of ourselves, though. We should be going over to level up.
Yeah, so level up, I want to talk about, again, the Pro Tour of Philadelphia, which is where this Pioneer is coming from, the high-level tournament there. Yes. We have the spoilers. Like, you can still attend a Pro Tour and have a blast. Yeah. Just because you're not playing at the highest competition, highest level, you know, you're not playing competitive Magic doesn't mean you can't have fun. You can still play very casual Magic. But
well, that atmosphere is just amazing, right?
The atmosphere, just yeah, the atmosphere itself, that like everyone is kind of like minded, or most people are. Like, I know a lot of players enjoy Commander because it's a casual environment. It's very, very low stakes. Yes, I understand that there's CEDH, but ultimately, like, if you want to play competitive Magic, you're looking at basically three formats: Standard, Pioneer, and Modern, and Limited. I want to include Limited in there as well, which is Draft. You can still have fun.
Or Sealed.
With Draft. Yeah. Yes, Draft and Sealed is Limited, yeah.
Right.
But those four are the main four sets that or main formats that you really want to focus on if you want to play competitive Magic. And
yeah, we talked a few times about the competitive scene when you had the segment called Beginner's Corner.
Yeah.
But because we have it now in Level Up, we're going to up our A game a little bit for the intermediate level players, because when you go to a competitive environment, like, number one, the atmosphere is just amazing. You can feel the energy in whatever banquet hall you're in, you can feel the energy, man. And you got, people playing the games you love, the formats you love, and there's going to be side tables with side hustles going on. You might even get Magic paraphernalia like wall art or something,
Yeah.
But, just half the fun is, like you said, playing those side games. If you're not there for the main event, or you're not there to root on your favorite competitor or whatnot, like, hashtag Will Hall. you got other things to do. That's how formats are even created. That's how Commander was created. I think it's the only one I can speak of. But go ahead, Onik.
So for competitive Magic, like, mm-hmm. I see occasionally people on Facebook or whatever complain about Arena, that there's a lack of creativity. They see the same decks over and over again. People are against like net decks because you can't build, or there's no, you have to copy paste a deck or whatever. But that's what competition is. Not about copying pasting, but about doing your research, finding a deck that has proven itself to be competitive, to be fierce, to be one of the best out there. You're taking that deck and trying to maximize every single incremental advantage possible. Like going, if you're not just changing the cards, but changing the way you play, your sequencing, deciding if that creature is worth killing, destroying or not, whether to save removal or whether it's a chump block it, every single thing that you do, if you can increase your chance by winning by 0.3%, that's even huge in the grand scheme of things. So seeing the same decks over and over again, yeah, that's what you got to get used to. You have to accept it. That's what it is.
Yeah, and you want to go. I'm sorry. I was going to say, if you want to go like an RPPTQ or something, you're going to need to play test against those top tier decks.
Yeah.
Before you even go to the tournament, you know?
Yeah. Like I mentioned earlier, the metagame breakdown of Rakdos midrange being, you know, in first and 15%, mono green is 14%. Those two decks is about 30% of the tournament. So you need to go in with whatever deck you choose, knowing that you most likely will play against each of those decks once. How are you going to play against them and how are you going to win? All right, you don't have to necessarily change your main deck, but you might need to change your sideboard. Exactly.
You beat me too. I was going to save that. So you got to pay attention to your sideboard, you know, and that's why as we evolve the podcast, we're going to also have the level up segment change to for the advanced players, right? We'll get to the expert and the pro player level later, but right now we're talking about the intermediate level, right? So when it comes to play testing, that's something that you would want to do if you want to up your game from the intermediate level. So right now we're just going to talk to you on the intermediate level. Your sideboard's so important, so important. You really at this stage ought to start thinking about, do I need to have four main deck? Would I be okay with three main deck? You see what I'm saying, Onique? Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing about the higher level tournaments though is, if this is your first time, or you've only done it a few times, just keep remembering in the back of your head that if I lose, it's okay. Because there's a lot of, like you said, competitiveness. And you're probably going to have 80% guys there, right? And guys are competitive. So just know that, you know, and I mean, last night over here, Onique, there was a lot of female competitors last night, and they brought their A game. I'm talking goblin decks and everything, right? They brought their A game, bro. But as far as the intermediate level, just don't beat yourself up. Really go into it like you're going to go to the local game store. You're going to have fun. And remember that side hustle stuff, man. I like going by singles. I love buying singles.
Yeah.
And sometimes they get those little raffle games where you throw the dice and you might win something, you might not, you know?
Yeah, but for the level up, like, if you want to be at the top of the game, you need to understand, you have to study, you have to really absorb everything that is about competition, the redundancy of some of these decks, because you know, sometimes you're going to play these decks over and over and over again. And I listed off, what was this, like 9 different decks that are just 3% or greater in a metagame. You're going to play those. Can your deck handle a plus 50% win rate against 10 different decks?
Yeah.
If not, like you probably need to update your deck. Maybe change it entirely.
I've said in the past, no matter what, I might beat a lot of people, but there's people that beat me, and there's people who beat those people, okay? So, I mean, believe it or not, you know? So, if you always, you know, think you want to get to that next stage, that next level, all right, then the advice we're giving you really is spot on. It really is. Number one, Charlie, I want to thank you so much for coming on today's show.
Thank you.
And if anybody's listening to you for the first time, is there any way to contact you or get a hold of you?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can follow me on Instagram at charles_va_og. And then most importantly, if you're ever interested in joining the mental health program that I'm in, search up in Instagram, Mental Health Connection.
Okay.
And just search them up, contact them, and get started.
Okay. Charlie, thank you so much, man. We're going to let the listeners go and tune in next time. But until next time, keep spell slinging.